This episode of Risen Motherhood is brought to you in part by Crossway, publisher of Bread of Life, savoring the all-satisfying goodness of Jesus through the art of bread making by Abigail Dodds. This book is filled with 11 devotionals, along with 11 easy-to-follow bread recipes, all designed to show you how to find your ultimate fulfillment in Christ, the all-satisfying bread of life. Pick up Bread of Life wherever books are sold or visit crossway.org/plus to find out how you can get 30% off with your Crossway Plus account. We're so thankful for Crossway sponsorship.
Motherhood is hard. One second, we think we're doing a good enough job, and the next, we feel like the worst mom on the planet, which is why we need the refreshing truth of the gospel to be repeated over and over, giving us hope in the everyday moments. So, Mama, whether you're sipping cold coffee or doing a sink full of dishes, we hope you find truth, encouragement, and laughter here. This is the Risen Motherhood Podcast. Thanks for joining us. Hey friends, welcome back to another episode of Risen Motherhood. I'm Laura Whiffler and my sister-in-law, Emily Jensen, will be joining me here in a moment. But before we get to today's show, I just wanted to remind you of a couple things, especially with the holidays coming up. One way that you can support Risen Motherhood as a nonprofit is through shopping through Amazon Smiles. So as you guys know, Amazon has all sorts of awesome gifts, probably for your kids for this Christmas. And one thing that is great about the platform is actually that we are signed up as a nonprofit ministry that is eligible to receive a portion of every purchase that you make through Amazon Smile. So it's really simple. We're going to put a link in our show notes for how to set that up and how to get everything figured out. But right now I do all of my shopping through Amazon Smile. And then I know that a portion of everything that I purchase is going back into ministries and nonprofits that I love, supporting causes that I care about. So as you set up all of your Christmas shopping, we just want to ask that maybe you consider Risen Motherhood be one of those charities that you support through the shopping that you're already doing. It doesn't come at any extra cost to you and is a great way to help Risen Motherhood continue to do the work that we do. So the other last thing I want to remind you guys is that we have a whole landing page with resources for social media. So you can go there to risenmotherhood.com/social media and you can find other resources, some books that we've read, links to articles, links to past podcasts, all sorts of stuff. So if you haven't visited that page, head over there if you want to learn more about that. And of course, there's also a spot to sign up for our email list where you can get our Wake Up Workbook free download, which is basically a podcast companion that goes along with each podcast in this series for you to be able to take these conversations further. Okay, with that, let's get to the show.
I think even just yesterday, I was making dinner, or it was maybe two nights ago, I was making dinner and I went to go check my recipe. And I forgot to check my recipe and I started checking who knows what, probably social media, probably Instagram. And then I was standing there at my counter. I don't know, 10, 15 minutes went by and I couldn't remember what I was doing at my counter.
That's the thing. You don't even remember what you were supposed to be doing. Or like I'll go in to check something that's like legit, necessary. I'm going to get XYZ. And I am derailed the moment I open my phone.
Yeah.
And I think that oftentimes I am opening my phone when I have these feelings of being overwhelmed, or I know for me, a big one is any time that I hit a time in work where I'm like, oh, I don't know what to write next, or I hit like writer's block, or I hit sort of this just a hard thing to figure out in work. I find myself going over to social media as an escape for sure.
Yeah, 100%. In fact, I've been observing recently that I hit kind of a wall in my day where I can really resist social media for a long time, but especially in the evening after we've gotten through dinner and it's kind of time to make it to that stretch until bedtime, I can really start to check out. And I just sit down on the couch and I get my phone out, like the kids are playing, they're off doing something, and I just want to be done. Yeah. And it's my way of dealing with my overwhelm, my exhaustion of the day. And I think what we know, just from science, psychology, of course we know this from scripture, is that overwhelm is a real thing, and that our brains and our bodies have defense mechanisms to deal with like the stress and the anxiety and the hard things that we are feeling in life and in motherhood. And those defense mechanisms kick in. And one of the ways we can kind of defend ourselves or like check out is through social media.
Yeah. It's important to maybe note here for people who are wired maybe a little more like me, I often don't consider myself overwhelmed. I feel like I have a higher capacity and can handle a decent amount of stress. But when I read how overwhelm can manifest as intense emotion, as anxiety, anger, irritability, thought processes that are unhelpful, like worry or doubt or helplessness. So these things where I was like, oh, they are manifesting in a way, because I have to think of overwhelm as like, oh, you know, like I can't process and handle, and I'm just going to shut down. Mm-hmm. But thinking about overwhelm is sometimes manifesting as speaking a harsh word or having a short temper or feelings of doubt. I know for sure that I'm like, oh yeah, I can put myself in that category.
Yeah, I think there, as I was kind of reading about it, I think there's a couple of, there's a ton of major ways, but like a couple of major buckets, if you want to think about it that way, that we deal with overwhelm is some people like shut down.
Yeah.
And they get overwhelmed.
That's
and so
how
they
I think
stop
of it.
Doing work. And yes. Then there are people who get overwhelmed and it actually puts them into overdrive.
Yes,
with
that's
work.
Me. That's me.
And they get like on this high of like task, 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 and they cannot stop. And so for some people, overwhelm makes you like the Energizer Bunny. And you can't shut off. And for other people, you like can't turn on.
Okay, that's like absolutely fascinating, because I would have not said like, oh, I get overwhelmed by motherhood. Like I would have been like, man, not really. But 100% I get like kind of psychotic.
Yeah, it's like how you cope with it.
Yes.
And the interesting thing that connects to social media, as you know, we've been thinking about this, is overwhelm can send us to social media as a coping mechanism, which we've already talked about, right? So this is, hey, motherhood is feeling like too much, or motherhood plus all the other things that I'm responsible for in life makes me want to just go numb or feel distracted or like try to take control and, you know, conquer everything. Or overwhelm can be increased by social media. So this is like, hey, maybe our regular lives are, I don't want to say manageable because we all feel stretched, but like God is being gracious to give us the things we need to get through our regular life. But then as we are kind of living this additional life on social media, we become overwhelmed
100.
By all the stimulus, all the issues, all the concerns, which we're going to talk more about. Or overwhelm is something that we can put onto other people through social media because we feel overwhelmed. We feel all these feelings. We want to see things change and grow and, you know, be validated and all the things we've talked about on other shows. And so we go onto social media and we heap burdens and demands on other people. I think one way we see this is sometimes influencers or Christian ministries or just the average Joe puts up a state of emergency about every single issue. We can put impossible standards onto other moms through social media, again, as a way to cope with our own stress or feelings of failure. And so I feel like overwhelm and social media just walk hand in hand.
Absolutely. Especially as you were talking about how it can create the feelings or burden that of overwhelm by seeing all these amazing things other people are doing. Or like you were saying, hey, now we're actually, we feel all worked up about something. And so we're going to project that out through our social media channels.
Mm-hmm.
And I think with both of those things, it reminds me of Paul's letter to the Thessalonians. And Paul is writing to the church to encourage them and reassure them, hey, you need to go on working quietly. What's the verse? 4:11, seek to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your own hands. And I think it's really interesting to think about how it's what it doesn't say. It doesn't say, hey, go lead a flashy life. It doesn't say, hey, make sure that you let everybody know how you're feeling. Hey, make sure that you escape whenever you feel nervous about something. Make sure you hold other people accountable when they're online. It says, lead a quiet life.
Mm-hmm.
Mind your own business and work with your hands. And I don't think the social media work that we're doing with our thumbs is going to qualify as what Paul is talking about. And so I just feel conviction in that of saying, okay, what does it look like to lead a quiet life, to mind your business? And that's what we kind of want to talk about today throughout the show of what does it mean to be faithful in our real lives while also holding the tension of having an online presence as well.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So I think one thing that's interesting is a lot of us would say, faithfulness feels so complicated though. Like, I don't know what it looks like to be faithful. That's such an ambiguous word.
Yeah.
It's very vague. I want to be a faithful mom, but what does that mean? And I really like this idea of just saying, hey, it doesn't have to be so complicated. At the end of the day, it's doing the work that is in front of us. It's keeping the main thing, looking at the responsibilities that God has laid in our path. Literally, just wherever you're standing in your house today or whatever, like look in front of you and see what God has you to be faithful in. And so perhaps we need to stop scrolling. I think one of the things that we get kind of hung up on with social media is paying attention to like peripheral concerns. So this is a real life example. I was a messy room kind of gal.
I'm not even surprised.
Actually, I ran across like a picture. My parents were filing all of their pictures and I ran across the picture of my room and I was horrified. Like it was worse than I remember in my mind because now we live like I'm married to
a minimalist.
Like everything's clean and tidy. So anyways, it was horrible. And my parents would be like, hey, you've got to go clean up your room. And I would get so overwhelmed by this task of cleaning up my room that I would just go kind of into a corner and start going through like a box of notes that my friend wrote me and I like reading all the notes and refolding them.
Totally distracted. You would fold a note? Emily, of course, it would totally be distracted.
Oh, yeah. And okay, so we also lived, this very side note, Laura and I lived in the day of magazine collages.
Oh, yeah.
So we lived at a time when if you did not cut that picture out and keep it, you would never see it again. So I had piles and piles of like magazine collages and like old magazines. Hours would go by and my parents would come up and I'm like, oh, I went through this stack of magazines. And it's like, that's great, but you didn't attack the main problem, which was cleaning your room. So by doing the peripheral work, essentially like I was avoiding the main thing. And I think sometimes on social media, perhaps there is something meaningful that we're doing on social media, but likely it's peripheral to the things that we really need to be tackling.
Yeah, I think that is such a good example, Emily, of it layers on these additional areas that we start to feel like, hey, this is what it looks like to be a good mom. This is what it looks like to be faithful in my real life. And, you know, honestly, God's purposes for motherhood are fairly simple and they do not, it doesn't look cookie cutter, mm-hmm. but at the heartbeat, because I think we're trying to like look like that Instagram person, right? But at the heart, it is really quite simple of what he's asking of us. And first and foremost, it's really just to love God above all, right? To remember that your kids are not your ultimate purpose. Your social media presence is not your ultimate purpose. Even being a wife is not the ultimate purpose. It's actually to love God and give him glory. And from that, when that is the first order of our heart, well, then we are loving our kids well and we're putting them in a proper place. We're loving our husbands well and we're putting it in the proper place. We're taking care of our homes. And with that, we have the Great Commission that we know says, go and make disciples. And so we love God and then we love others. And with that, we are simply showing an overflow of God's work in our own life to those around us. And we're not necessarily making these perfect decisions or looking like this other mom or trying to emulate what culture tells us to be, but we are simply walking out in the love that we've been shown. And that will look very, very different depending on where you live, how many children you have, what your marital status is. And so I think when we get on socials, we're thinking, well, I need to look like her. I need to emulate her. That's what faithfulness looks like. And like Emily saying, she was saying like, what's in front of you? What's in front of you right now? And I heard this example about these Navy SEALs who, you know, no matter where they were in whatever room that they're in, they would kind of scan the room and look around mm-hmm. and they would take control because it was in them. It was almost bred into them. And I think about that of just in my own home life of looking around in the home that I've been given, the yard that I have, the children that are running around and saying, okay, what needs to be done next?
Right.
Like scan the room, find the need and meet the need. And yeah. that is being faithful.
Yes.
I mean, it's that's as simple as it gets.
We cracked the code. I'm just curious. Do you feel like, you know, your time on social media helps you do that, like Navy SEAL your life?
Let's
or
Navy SEAL our life.
Does it detract? And I know it's more complicated than does it help or does it detract? But like, yeah. how would you describe it?
I mean, I would say like in general, if I'm really being ruthless, no.
Yeah.
I think that we've talked about some of the redeeming qualities of social media before. I feel like on past shows where there can be types of Titus 2 experiences or there can be life hacks that genuinely help your life. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can think of a lot of things where I'm like, oh, I found out about that on social and my life is a little bit easier because of yeah. that. But in general, in order to be faithful, like if we're just drilling it down, I feel like being online is, I would be hard pressed to say, yeah, social media helps me be faithful.
Yeah. So it's not essential, I think.
It's not essential.
And good. You and I both know lots of moms in real life. In fact, if I were to take stock of just like my circle of people that overlaps with your circle mm-hmm. of people a lot, and I think, well, who are some moms that I would list as like, I just really see them being faithful to take care of the things that God has given them. Most of them are not on social media at all, or they are very little on social media, and it doesn't play a very big part of their daily life. Now, that is not at all to be prescriptive and say, okay, now in order to be faithful, you have to get offline. Right. Like, we're not trying to make a rule the other direction, because obviously both Laura and I have online presence. We run a ministry online. But I think that's some food for thought of, hey, guess what? I know a ton of really faithful moms who just don't spend that much time on social media, and it's not hindering them.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a really, really good point. I think that social media can affect kind of two main areas of our faithfulness, our time and our energy. And so let's dive into time maybe first, because just like we started out talking on the show, I mean, it is unbelievable probably the amount of time all of us spend on social. I know we've all heard about the studies and the realities that we think we're only spending 5 minutes, and then you start taking a look at your tracker and suddenly, you know, you've actually spent 3 hours, or people set like, I'm only going to spend 1 hour. And they're like, man, that comes so fast every single time. And I think for me, it has been a big conviction for what does that look like in front of my kids? How is that time being taken away from them or from other important things where I'm Navy SEALing my life? You know, when I start to really think and admit, oh, I am giving 5 minutes here, 10 minutes there, 40 minutes there, there is a lot of other good that can be done in my life. And I remember I read a lot of books, and a lot of people will ask, how do you have time to read all those books? A lot of people online will ask me even. And I've just said, well, I don't really watch TV. Mm-hmm. And so it's like a really simple equation, like no TV, you can read more books. But I also think that plays in line with social media. Like we often think, well, how does she have time to like be so faithful in her life? Or how does she have time to, you know, be so involved? And I wonder if we started taking out some of the social media time, mm-hmm. how suddenly magically appears time to read our Bibles and to join Bible study and to Vox that friend, something encouraging, and just how much brain space goes to social media that we don't even realize, and how much time goes to that, that we would get back probably hours in our days.
Oh, it's so true. I love this quote from John Piper that was recently, I feel like it was revived and spread across social media.
Yeah, yeah.
I think he tweeted this in 2009. One of the greatest uses of Twitter and Facebook will be to prove at the last day that prayerlessness was not from lack of time. And whoa, I mean, I think he's just communicating what we're trying to say here is that all of us like to complain as moms, I don't have enough time to make the meal, or I don't have enough time to do this thing that I really want to do, or I don't have time to read my Bible. And certainly, like, we don't have to match, like, for every minute that I spend online, I need to spend an equal and double minute, you know, in my Bible. Like, maybe you do, but I think just the principle holds that, hey, Psalm 92, teach us to number our days. Like, our life is short. We only have a certain number of time. Let's make sure we're using it wisely. I love Proverbs 27:1. You do not know what a day will bring. We don't know what tomorrow's going to look like. We don't know what's coming for our lives. And so let's steward the time we have now and really ask, is my time spent on social media a good investment in the kingdom of God? Is this investing in the things that I really want to be working towards? Maybe it is.
I mean, we think it definitely can be.
Yeah.
I want to like reiterate that.
Yes.
Yeah. I know we're online.
We're picking on it, but I think
It's probably better to err on the side of caution.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, I think another important point that helped me when evaluating my social media behavior was also realizing how social media affects my time offline. Meaning, again, we keep talking about science and all of this stuff, but it has proven the fact that, hey, the social media and just the nature of our whole culture nowadays, our attention spans have gotten so much shorter. And it makes it hard to do that deeper work or work that requires a lot of concentration. And so even if you're a stay-at-home mom and you have no outside income producing work, it can affect things like paying your bills or, you know, having to make a lot of phone calls and appointments. I know for me, I especially do see it in my work when I need to write an article or anything like that, where I feel like it was good for me to evaluate social media's role, because it doesn't just affect me when my nose is buried in my phone, mm-hmm. but it is also affecting the way that I'm able to engage, even like, you know, pretend play with my kids or just focusing and concentrating in on one specific topic. And so I think that was also just a convicting way to mm-hmm. say, maybe I want to make some changes.
Totally. I heard this study. They measured like kids' attention span changes with screen use particular. So I don't know if this was social media specific, but they said at 30 minutes a day, they started to notice a marked difference in a child's ability to attend to any other task and stay focused and keep ideas organized. And so they were kind of projecting that out onto adults and saying, hey, maybe an hour to an hour and a half of time on a screen, especially when you're like scrolling, clicking. So not just like, hey, my computer laptop is open, but I'm actually putting all these different stimuli in my brain, you know, it's probably about the max that we can handle before it is probably changing our brain wiring and our ability, to your point, to manage all of our time,
yeah.
not just the time that we're on social media.
Yes. And so the next area kind of relating into that is our energy, how I will get online and suddenly realize, oh, I had no idea that was happening in the world. Oh, I had no idea this was a cause I needed to care about. Oh, I had no idea that, you know, these are the changes that I need to make in my life. And I genuinely want to make those changes or care about that thing, because whatever post I read is so convicting or so convincing. But yet I think that what happens is suddenly we're so focused on all of the evils and horrible things way out there online, sometimes millions of miles away, that we forget about there are things in our own backyard that we need to be caring about. And Jenny Allen, she shared this post on Instagram, and she just talked about how we're not meant to carry the problems of the whole world all day, every day. We're the first generation to know them all. Let me be clear. I'm not saying we put our heads in the sand and get a pass. And then she goes on and says, that we're experiencing compassion fatigue, and that neighbors' suffering are falling to the wayside for global crises, and we end up paralyzed. And I think that's exactly what I'm trying to portray here, is just this idea that suddenly, because I'm so caught up in what I need to do, I need to do the drives, I need to send the money, I need to have these conversations, I need to care about these crises overseas. And I think those are good things. Like, I'm not saying don't do those. But I also think we have to kind of step back and say, because so much of my energy is going towards things that I found out about on social media, what am I missing within my own backyard, and what needs am I not meeting? Because those typically aren't virally shared on social mm-hmm. media. And so you're not seeing them over and over again. And so how can we ask, kind of like the Mother Teresa quote, if you want to change the world, go home and love your family. You know? And, yeah. and I think that is a really, to hear from Mother Teresa, you know, that's convicting, that's something that for most of us, we will lead a smaller life that makes an impact on a small community that's actually around us, mm-hmm. you know. And think about even great missionaries. I was thinking about this the other day, of people who you would say, wow, that person really, look at their legacy, look at their story. But who were they impacting in the moment? A small group of real people that they could touch and see and hug and cry with and laugh with. And yet they made an impact in that moment just with those people. And their life didn't become necessarily like this big legacy until later that someone wrote about it. And I feel like we often, though, prop that up of saying, they made this, I need to make an impact like them. But they did that just by being faithful where God had placed them. Mm-hmm. And they weren't looking for these big other flashy things.
Well, look at Jesus. I mean, he's the most famous person of all time.
Amen. Yeah.
And he came and primarily invested in a small group of 12 men who were not even that like impressive yeah. or socially amazing people. And so I think if we'd say, hey, if this way was good enough for our Lord and our Savior and our example that we follow, to invest small and see that seed multiplied into great fruit, then we don't have to be discontent with the small. We can say, yeah, I'm going to invest in the people who are around me, and I'm going to view that as a seed planted for God to grow and multiply into great fruit. And I think another gospel principle to keep in mind here is our human limitation. Like, we are limited. We are not God. We cannot know all things at all times or be all things for all people or have all power, all resources. I know I've heard it said before that each of us has kind of a limited capacity. So think of all of us like we're different sized jars. Some people are like a giant cooler, and some people are like a little mason jar, depending on our life circumstances, what kind of emotional things we're facing, how much stress we're under. And, you know, you poke a hole in that and let that drain out, like, we're all going to kind of have a different capacity. Well, the reality for me is that social media drains that for me. And I know that when I go online and I read about all these different things and I see these different things, I take them into my brain and I take them into my heart and I mold them over and I worry about them and I analyze them and I process them. I talk to Laura about them. And I, you know, just mold them over. And like, I've drained how much of my little jar or whatever, just on that. And then later in the day, you know, when my husband needs something or my kids are having a conflict, I'm like, I'm done. I'm already emotionally spent today. But I didn't spend it on the right things. And so even Jesus in his ministry, we see, didn't heal everyone. He didn't respond every single time he was called. We see him just using wisdom in the way that he spent his time and ministered to people. And that's got to be true for us too.
Well, and going back to your jar, capacity jar, doesn't it look like everybody online has a giant cooler? Like,
oh, yeah.
We think, wow, she's really doing it all based on their presence on social media.
But we know that people are changing that.
Yes. They're trying to talk about it more.
Yes. That's what I mean.
Yeah. People are trying to like admit like, I don't do this or I don't do that or here are my boundaries. But I still think we hop online and we're like, wow, she's just so high capacity. I need to be like that. Like again, where we start to impose what these people look like online and we think, well, this is what I need to look like to be faithful in my life. And the reality is we are seeing a curated version of their life. And it doesn't matter how small of a jar you have in real life, it probably looks really amazing online. And it probably looks like, wow, she can really do it all.
And you don't know what that woman feels like on the other side, who is responding to all of her comments and responding to all of her DMs and sharing all these bits of her day. I mean, Laura and I have even talked about that with stories as, you know, you and I have like tried to create stories sometimes and we're like, I spent so long on that. I'm so exhausted. And it created 30 seconds of content.
You will literally work for an hour and get like something that somebody will crush through in 3 minutes.
Yes.
And it's tough. It's tough to find the ROI on that. Like it's pretty, anyway, that's a whole nother conversation.
Well, yeah, the point is that as we are looking at other moms and saying, well, it doesn't affect her energy or look, she's still taking care of her family and she's creating all this stuff. You don't know what she feels like and you don't know what life is like behind those stories.
The whole story. Yeah.
It may be okay, but it may be that she's totally exhausted and feels trapped by it.
Yeah. So at the end of the day, I think the big question that we want all of you guys to ask is if you do not take care of what's before you, who will? You know, who is going to sing hymns to your children? Who is going to pray for them? Who is going to answer those crazy questions that they have on the way to school or the questions about salvation that they have before bed? These are roles that only us as mothers can fulfill for our kids. And again, it doesn't mean social media doesn't have a place in our lives, but are these the needs that we're seeing first and foremost and that we're meeting? Or are these the places that we're putting our best energy and we're putting most of our effort? Because somebody online, like there are other people who can fill needs. There are other people who can care for stuff, but no one else can raise your child.
Amen. And, you know, just as like another word of encouragement, believers have been able to be faithful in their circumstances for 2,000 plus years without the internet and without knowing all the ins and outs. In fact, we were created to live in pretty small and specific communities. You know, I was just thinking it used to probably be that you maybe knew like people in your family, a few neighbors, a few people in your town in terms of like what concerns are in front of me. What different types of motherhood are there? And now we have almost an infinite scope of ways of life and concerns and things to look at. And, you know, certainly, again, there's redemptive quality in that. We don't want to say that God doesn't use that or he hasn't moved the needle in that way. I know a lot of you guys have come to even know the gospel and through risen motherhood and running across that on your feet. So he can absolutely use it. But believers have been faithful and have been able to spread the gospel without that for millennia. And so we don't have to be on social media in order to do what God is asking us to do. And I think it's just a good reminder. We don't have to overcomplicate things. We just need the guidance of the Holy Spirit. We need a humble heart. We need the word of God. We need the local church community. And to look around us and say, what's in front of me right now? And what does God have for me to do next? It's probably something small.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Something ordinary, not flashy and cool.
Hi, my name is Destiny, and I'm part of the Risen Motherhood community because I find it so, so important, especially as a Christian mom, with all the challenges and the adventure of motherhood and the beauties of motherhood, to not feel alone. Community is biblical, and we need community, especially as mothers. We have so much before us, and to know that we are not alone and to have that daily encouragement from the Lord, from His Word, and be able to see other mothers who are being encouraged by the same thing. We don't feel alone, and I think that's so important and so beautiful, and I'm so grateful for Risen Motherhood following the call of God to this specific ministry, and I'm so thankful.
Risen Motherhood is a nonprofit organization made possible by our generous donors for women just like you. If you'd like to support the ministry, please go to risenmotherhood.com/give.